So we're in the bottom of Nun Hei Yon Beis, the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, this is the last Mishnah of the Perek. We have two more blot left until we encounter the real difficult parts, the Kudshim parts of Pesachim.
So I'm going to be away Monday, Tuesday.
Okay.
And Wednesday, I'm sorry.
What are you flying?
I have to go to Italy, to Milan.
No. Can I come with you?
Yeah, you can go instead of me. I'd be much happier being here.
I need some break for the kids.
So says the Mishnah, Shisha Dvarim, also Anshe Yericho. There are six things that the people of Yericho did. Al Shlosha Michu Biyadam. Three of the things that they did, the Chacham were very unhappy. They protested what they did. Val Shlosha Lo Michu Biyadam. And three of them, they didn't protest. The Chachamim, they allowed them to do it. Ve'eluhin Shlo Michu Biyadam. The following are the three that were not protested by the Chachamim. Markivin Dekolim Kol Hayom. So Rashi explains this is referring to on Shel Yadalad, on Erev Pesach. This is why it's here in the Mishnah, in the Perek and Pesachim. On Erev Pesach, they allowed him to mark Kivin to call him, which was to graft the trees, a way of helping them grow better. I think the grafting would be they take the branch, bend it over, stick it in the ground, and then grow again. They'd create a. So that was something that Anshe Yericho did on Erev Pesach. The Chum were not very pleased necessarily, but they didn't tell them to stop doing it. That's number one. Second thing the Mishnah says, V'korchen es Hashma. So Rashi tells us, the Gemara will explain, there are a few opinions, what korchen es Hashma, something different they do about reciting Shema. The third thing that they would do is, V'kotrin v'gochin lifnei omer. They would, before the carbon omer, you were not allowed to cut the new grains. However, Anshe Yericho, they would do sira, they would reap it, and gochin, they would create heaps, piles of all the bundles. Rashi points out, really, sira shouldn't be there, but the Gemara is going to address that as well. And those are the three things that were done by Anshe Yericho that they did not protest. The Eil, however, these are the Eilu three Shemichu Biyadam. The following are the three things that the Chum did protest what they did. Number one, Matirin Gimzils Shel Hektesh. So Rashi explained that this was a case where the fathers of these individuals had made these certain trees Hektesh. And then they would say that any new additional branches that would grow from this tree after the father made Hektish, that was Mutter. Hektish is when you say this object, the value is going to be designated to the Hektish. So let's say the tree is worth $10,000, so I now have to give money, redeem, be poda, the money from this tree onto money and give the money to the Beis HaMikdash. But when I was, have I not been poda yet, this tree is Hektish, I can't get any hanah from it. So they would say after the fathers of these individuals made this tree Hektish, the children would say, oh, anything that would additionally grow, the new branches, that was not subject to Hektish, and that's not true.
It's Kedushas Mamam.
Exactly, Kedushas Damim, right.
Okay.
And that was the first thing that they did. The Chum were not very pleased with. The Chum said, don't do that, that's not permitted. And then the second thing that they did, that they protested, was V'ochlin mitachas ha'nisharim b'shabbos. So they would sit underneath these trees, and on Shabbos, and the fruit would fall down, and that would be subject to mukta. They would eat these trees, apples rather, that fell off, or any other fruit that fell off on Shabbos. And the Chachamim protested that. And the last thing is, v'nosin peya liyerek, u'micha biyadam chacham. So peya, the halacha peya is, the pasuk tells us, is that when you're harvesting your field, you have to leave one corner available for the aniyim, that's peya. So they took peya from yerek, from vegetables. Peah is, you don't have to come. Peah, we'll see later on, is only subject to certain fruit. Not every fruit, not every vegetable subject to peah. Peah does not apply to yerek. Doesn't apply to vegetables. However, they did leave peah for vegetables. So what's the problem? So they left money over for the aniyim. They gave tzedakah. What's the big deal? The problem is, the loch is that peah, you do not take miser in peah. If you anything leave for peah, you do not have to take a miser from that to give to the levy. So that's exempt. So these people, they took peah, exactly, they undid, they didn't have to take meiser and did not have to give the levy. Even though when it comes to meiser, Yerek, you have to give meiser of vegetables to the levy, mid rabbanon, they exempted themselves by leaving it as peah. So that was the problem.
Right.
Okay. So those are the three different things, that first three that Chachamim did not protest, the last three that Chachamim did protest. So the Gemara says, we have something similar to this in regards to Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Tan Rabbanon, the Gemara says, Shisha Dvarim Asu Chizkiyahu HaMelech, there are six things that Chizkiyahu HaMelech did. Al Shlosha Hodulo, Val Shlosha Lo Hodulo. Three of these things that he did, the Chachamim were pleased with. They admitted to what he did was correct. And three of them, they did not agree with what he did. What are the three? What are the six, rather? Girar Atzamos Aviv Al Mita Shel Chavalim. He took the bones of his father. His father was a Rasha. Took the bones and scraped them on this bed. It was a real bizayon to his father after his father had died.
He was son of Menashe? Who was he?
He was the son of... I don't think the son of Menashe.
He's the one who was doing the Bedek Abayis and they found the Sefer Torah open.
Achaz,
yeah. Achaz, right, okay. Here we go. Okay, so
Melech Yehuda before Melech Hizkia.
I think he set up a lot of Avodah Zarah. That was the issue. I believe so.
And he led everybody to Avodah Zarah.
Right.
Achaz was terrible.
Yeah. So
he was Jewish.
Yeah.
Menachem was his son. I think Chizkiya didn't want to have kids because he knew that he was going to have Menachem. I think it's the opposite.
Yeah, was that who it was? I know he knew.
Or
Brachos.
Or Chizkiya Tzidkiya, one of them.
No, Chizkiya was the one who didn't want to have children.
Right, because he had a nevuah that he, and then he married Yishayahu's daughter.
Exactly. Okay. Right. Exactly. That's a Gemara in Brachos. Right.
All right.
So. So the Rishon talk about here, how were you able to do that to your father? Isn't there a chiv kibra v'aim afil achar misa? So Rashi says, we see from here, Rashi and Sanhedrin, rather, says, we see from here, I'm not sure we see from here, but he does point out that when it comes to a father who's a Rasha, you do not have to give them kibra v'aim. The Rambam, however, writes explicitly that you have to do kibra v'aim even for a father who's a Rasha. So how does the Rambam explain this? So the way they explain is that... the Yaros Dvash, who I believe is the Rav Yonatan Eibshitz, I think, he says the whole reason why you have to give Kibra V'Aim to a father, even when he's in Russia, is because Maris Ayin reasons. So Maris Ayin, people are going to see you're being disrespectful to your father. They won't know your father is necessarily in Russia, so it's for Maris Ayin reasons, always give respect to your father. However, everybody knew Achaz Melech was in Russia. There's no Maris Ayin issues. Everybody knew, so therefore, it was not a problem of showing lack of respect to his father. The Tiferes Yisrael writes that no, the Rambam says that you only have to show kavod to your father even when he's a Rasha, only when your father's alive. But when he dies, you don't have to show kavod. Now, generally speaking, kibud avim applies even l'achar misa. The only difference is when the father's a Rasha, says the Tiferes Yisrael, it does not apply anymore after misa.
That was in Gemara. We learned a long time ago.
Gemara a long time ago. We sit here? We discussed here already?
No. Oh. I'm saying like 2-3 years ago. And, but
cut up Sanhedrin.
I think Sanhedrin.
Yeah, exactly. That's where it comes up, yeah. In Sanhedrin. So the Gemara said that's the first thing that Chizkiyahu did, and the Chachamim agreed with what he did. He took his father's bones and dragged them. Second thing is Kisas Nechash Nechoshes Behodulo. He ground up this Nechash Nechoshes that was used in the Midbar, that was used to help cure people. People would think that it's Rashi says people would think, oh, this is like an Avodah Zarah of some sort, so not good things were happening. So therefore, he ground it up and got rid of it. And they agreed to what he did. And the third thing he did that they agreed on was Sefer Refuos, Gunas Sefer Refuos, Vahodulo. He took the Sefer Refuos and he hid it, he put it into secrecy. So Rashi says that, what's the reason why he did this? Vigantu Sefer Refuos, Mkidichsiv Vatov Beinecha Sisi Vamrinam Bebrachos, Shagunas Sefer Refuos. Lefi Shelo Hayo Libam Nichna Al Cholayim Elam Misrapim Yad. They didn't really, part of sickness. You're supposed to start and feel down, and you're supposed to feel nichna tekash baruchu. But they would just go right to the sefer fuos and get healed in a split second, and they wouldn't have any type of hachna at all. You're supposed to feel a certain amount of humility and some tshuva. That wouldn't happen with the sefer fuos. Therefore, it was hidden. Now I'm right. No, the reason why it was hidden was because the sefer fuos was something written pi hakochavim, the mazal, some mystical dinim, which the Rambam says was not supposed to be used. It was only written by the person who wrote it to just understand how the world works, but not for actual use. People started actually using it, so then they said, well, this is enough already, let's hide this, get rid of this, because it's not supposed to be used. That's
he
the Rambam writes.
He really well.
What?
He hid it really well.
Yes, yeah, exactly. He hid it really, really well. The Chazon Ish writes something really amazing, that the time that they lived in was a very high level. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that even the Tinokos knew Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. It was a very high level of Ruchnias they were at.
During Chizkiyahu.
During this time period of Chizkiyahu.
Was it during Gdash at the time?
During the basement each of the time, yes, I believe so. Yeah. So,
we know of that, Achaz was a Oved Avodah Zarah.
You read the Nevi'im, it's amazing to see.
Oh, forget it, if you read Tanakh.
it's mind-boggling.
You only had like 3-4 good melachim. That's all.
Mind-boggling.
And in Israel, in Israel, nothing. I don't know if there was any.
So the Chazanish says they were such a high level at that time. The emunah bitachon they had, Akash Baruch Hu was going to take care of them and heal them. They did not need any help. They didn't need the safer for those. So they got rid of it because they didn't need it. It was unnecessary. They just had trust in Akash Baruch Hu that he would provide. Now, who wrote the Sefer Refuah? This is Machlokas Rishonim. The Ramban writes in the Hakdama al Torah that Shlomo HaMelech was the one who wrote this. He wrote it based on Al-Teva, which herbs and grasses and vegetables were helpful for certain sicknesses. Shlomo HaMelech did this based on the Al-Piteva. The Tashbetz writes that the Noach wrote it. Noach wrote it while he was in the Teva. They were in the Teva, not Noach, rather, one of his sons. They were in the Teva, and one of the Shadim, or many of the Shadim, were causing him a lot of issues, and they didn't know how to function with all the Shadim. So apparently a Malach came along, took one of his sons, they don't say which one, took one of his sons, brought him to Gan Eden, taught him the entire Sefer Refuos, how to deal with the Shadim, and then he wrote it and put it together in a Sefer. Interesting to note, the Gemara says in Brachos, if a person realized, maybe it's here in, yeah, Gemara in Brachos, or Pesachim, maybe both, that if a person realized how many Shadim there were, they would go crazy. That's why we don't know. So I had a Rebbe who once said that he thinks Shadim are basically viruses and things going around there, bacteria, which we don't see, which gets us sick. And you just need to know how to deal with them. And there's a third Medrash that says, apparently, Noach learned it after the Mabul, and Malach came down and taught Noach, and Noach put it together. Okay, so these are the three things that Chizkiyahu did, and the Chacham agreed to that he was correct on doing these things. But the Gemara says two wide lines down, Val Shlosh Lo Hodulo, there are three things that Chizkiyahu did that they did not agree on. Kitetz Dalasel Shel Heichal V'Shigron LeMelech Asher. He cut down the doors of the Heichal, the base of Mikdash, and sent them to the king of Asher, V'Lo Hodulo, they did not agree to him. And Rashi explains, does Rashi explain here? Rashi doesn't explain. Okay. So he sent them to him. He shouldn't have cut it down.
Those were gold.
They were made. These are the ones that made of. I think bronze. Red bronze. Exactly. They were in gold.
They were brought. They brought from far away.
Exactly.
Right?
They were hit under. They fell off. They went into the sea. They went into the boat. They popped up at the end. Exactly. Right. Gemara Numa. So these things he sent over to Melech Asher, but they did not. They were not in agreement with him. Sasam me gichon ha'elyon. He closed off the upper. This upper river, this spring of some sort, below Hodulo, they did not agree. And they did this to prevent the Melech Asher from coming to attack, and they didn't agree, because Rashi says, below Hodulo, Shehayelo Livtoch B'Kadosh Baruch Hu, they should have trusted, and Akash Baruch Hu would take care of them, and not have to cut off this river.
It says at that time, Chizkiyahu cut the doors of the temple, he stripped them of their gold overlay, and gave them to the king of Assyria.
So you're right, it was a gold overlay, and he sent them over to him, okay. Yeah. I thought it was also bronze, Nechoshes from the Gemara Numa.
Right, but I think right.
Okay. So says the Gemara. Then the third thing that Chizkiyahu did, which they did not agree on, was Ibar Nisan Benisan Lo Hodulo. Lach is when you have an Ibar Shana to make a 13-month year, like we have in this coming year, Adar is the one that you make the extra month. You have two Adars. And you're not allowed to make an Ibar Shana once Nisan begins. So he waited until Nisan, and he was Ma'abar the Shana, you can't, because it confuses the Klal Yisrael. They don't know when Pesach falls out. They didn't realize that a whole extra month was added on. It gets very problematic. The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks in more depth about exactly what happened. I don't think it was actually the first day of Nisan. Rather, it was the 30th day of Adar. 30th day of Adar, which has the potential to be Alf Nisan. The 30th day of any month can either be the 30th day of the month or the first day of the next month. So on that 30th day of Adar, that's when he's Ma'abar the Shana, I believe. So he wasn't supposed to do that, so they were not in agreement with what he did. So these are the six things that Chizkiyahu did. Three he liked, three they didn't like. The Ben Yehoyada writes that the name Chizkiyahu is broken down as Chazak and Hayu. Chazak were the three things that he did correctly, and Hayu were the three things that he did, like, in the past, it wasn't viewed as favorably. That's what Ben Yehoyada writes. That's goof in the name of Chizkiyahu. Says the Gemara, Markivan had to call him Kol Hayom. That on Erev Pesach, in Anshe Yircho, they were grafting all the different trees on Erev Pesach. So, Heichi Avdi, how were they able to do this? So what exactly did they do? Amar Rav Yehuda, Maisi Asadara. They brought a particular type of Asa. Asa is usually Hadasim. They brought a Hadas, the different types of Hadasim. Rashi says Lach, a moist Hadas. V'shichra de Dafna. And they had a Sheikhar of wood. I get a wood barrel made of beer. V'kimcha de Sarei. And they had a barley-based flour. Dirami b'mana. They threw it in a kli. The Dilo Chalfa Elayu Arbam Yom. They didn't change any of it for 40 days. Let it sit there for 40 days stagnant. umarsichalahu, and then they let it boil. Vishadu luladikla belebu. They would take it and put it in the heart of the tree. I don't know what that really means, but in the core of the tree, I guess, they'd pour it in there, this liquid. Behold the koi ba'arba amos didei. Any tree that was within 4 amos of this tree, they poured it down. Ilo avdilei. If they did not do the same thing to that tree, they did not pour this liquid in the heart, in the core of the tree, tzavu la'alder. They would dry up and die right away. So I'm not sure exactly what the purpose of all this did. I think it probably strengthened the tree you gave the liquid to, but it weakened the trees around it. They took the male part of a tree with the female part of the tree. Again, I don't know what any of this means. But they did something to help the trees grow on Erev Pesach, which the Anshei Yericho did this. The Chachamim were not very pleased with, but the Chachamim did not say anything to them either. Lo michu biyadam. They did not protest what they did. So this is the first thing that Anshei Yericho did. Shelo michu biyadam. Second thing they did was Korchen es Hashma. What's Korchen es Hashma? So the Gemara says, Heichi Abdi, what exactly did they do? Amr Vihuda Omrim Shema Yisrael Hashem Lokenu Hashem Echad Vlo Hayu Mafsikin. They said Shema, but they did not interrupt. Rashi explained, Vlo Hayu Mafsikin. Where did Rashi go? Here we go. Bein Echad Lev Hahafta. Afal Pid Tzarech L'Harech Be'echad. Even though you're supposed to say Echad and hold the dollar, they did not do that. You're supposed to pause for a moment before Vahaft and just think what you're about to do. They would not interrupt, they would not pause for a second, leave aside Baruch Shem for a second. But there's supposed to be a small half stake between Echad and Vahafta. They did not do that. That's what Korchen means. So these are one of the things that they did in Anshei Yericho that the Chachamim did not decide to be Mocha B'Yadam. Rava Amar in the Gemara, Mafsikin Hayu, they did interrupt. They did make a slight pause. Ella, Shahu Omim Hayom Alvavcha. They say Hayom Alvavcha, which would be Mashma Hayom Alvavcha, Vlo Mocha Alvavcha. Now today it's in your heart, but not tomorrow, which would sound like, why would you say, of course, it should always be, the love of Hashem should always be Alvavcha, always on your heart, even Lamachar. Their emphasis of Hayom Alvavcha would sound like only today it's on your heart, but not tomorrow. That was something they did, which they were not very pleased with. Machrichen Korcha means the kricha is like a sandwich to link together. So all these things are, they would link things together that shouldn't be linked. Then the Gemara quotes the Raisa Tanur Rabbanim. Ketzed hayu korchen es Hashma. How would they link? How would they group together? Shema? Omim Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad V'lo hayu mafsikin divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the first opinion we already saw above. Rabbi Yehuda Omer mafsikin hayu Ela shelo hayu omim baruch shem kvod malchuso l'ilam va'ed. So they would say Shema, they just would leave out that pasuk of baruch shem. The Gemara says, why do we say Baruch Shem? It's not Baruch Shem is not found in the Pesukim anywhere. It's not a Pasuk in the Torah. So they say, Yaakov called to his children, come together. All of us gather together. The Medrash says, Bikesh Yaakov Legalos Lebanov Kates Hayamim. He wanted to tell them the end of the days, when Mashiach is going to come. And then suddenly the Shechina left from his presence and he wasn't able to, he forgot when the Kate was coming, when the end of time when Mashiach is about to come. So he was so concerned. Amar, Shem Chas V'Shom, Yish B'Mitasi, P'sul Kavram, Shiyatsu B'Menu Yishmol. Maybe one of my children is P'sul, just like Avram had a P'sul who came out of him Yishmol. Vavi Yitzhak, my father Yitzhak also, Shiyatsu B'Menu Esav, Esav came out of him. Maybe one of my sons are also a P'sul. Maybe that's why the Shechina left me. Amulo, Barnav, all his children responded, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. No, we're all one, we're all in agreement that Hashem is the only one. There's no psul here. So Amru, Kishem, Shem, Belibcha, El Echad. Just like in your heart, Yaakov, there's only El Echad, there's one. Kach, Em, Belibenu, El Echad. So to our heart, there's only one. HaKadosh Baruch. Vosa, Shah, that very time, Pasach Yaakov, Avinu. Yaakov opened up and said, Vamar, Baruch, Shem, Kvod, Malchuso, Lilam, Ba'ed. That's why we say it. So I'm Rabbanu had the following problem.
So Shema Yisrael, so hold on. Shema Yisrael, it's Tzivui Ma'atorah. But does it come from the source that the sons of
Shema?
Of Yaakov says Shema Yisrael?
The Shema would base the Pasuk in Parshas Ve'eschanan says Shema. So that's the Pasuk of it. It doesn't say Shema.
Why are we saying that?
Why are we saying it? Because the Torah tells us we're supposed to say it. There's a mitzvah deraisa to say it every single day.
Say Shema Yisrael Hashem. Okay.
Yeah, the whole, with Vahafta, the whole parsha. Yeah. The machlok is actually whether the first pasuk is deraisa, maybe the entire first parsha is deraisa.
So but this is not the source.
This is just a medrash. The pasuk doesn't tell us what happened between Yaakov and his children. This is the medrash explains what happened. So basically, the medrash also is halacha Moshe Sinai. It's part of the Masorah, Torah Shebaal Peh.
Oh, so this is all this is Midrash?
Many times in the Gemara, you'll find things that are in the Gemara which are also found in Midrashim. So it might be there's a number of different Midrashim. There's a Tanchuma, there's a Medrash Rabbah, so there's a lot of overlap. So the Gemara says, Amri Rabbanan. Rabbanan said as follows, Hechi Na'avid. How are we supposed to act? How are we supposed to say Shema? Na'amruhu, if we're going to say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Ed, Lo Amr Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Vayetzcharon didn't say Baruch Shem. How can we say something Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say? However, Lo Na'amru, if we do not say Baruch Shem, well, Amr Yaakov did say it. So we're going against what the Medrash tells us Yaakov did say. So are you supposed to say Baruch Shem or not say Baruch Shem? So Hiskinu Sheyu Omer Moshe B'cheshai. They said, you know what, say it, but say it quietly. So you say it, so you're going to be Yotzei like Yaakov, but you're going to say it quietly, so you won't be going against Moshe explicitly. So the Gemara says, Amr B'tzak, Amr D'bei Rabbi Ami, Moshe L'bas Melech. This is very similar. There's a parable that sounds like the daughter of the Melech. The princess, Shehiricha Tzeicha Kedev. She smelled something really, really good. She was walking by Carlson Gabby's and smelled really good. But Im Tomar, she tells them, go get me some Carlson Gabby's, yesh the ganai. It's a ganai for like the princess to walk around with some tacos in her hands. So, but Lo Tamar, but if she doesn't tell them to bring her something to eat, well then yesh latsar, says she has a lot of tsar. She smells the food, and it's a lot of tsar to smell something and not eat it. And the Gemara says in Yuma, it's brought down the halacha, if a pregnant lady smells something and she really, really needs the food, you have to give her the food on Yom Kippur because it's dangerous for her. It's a tsar. So for a muberis, for someone who's pregnant, it's dangerous for the child. For someone who's not pregnant, it's not dangerous, but still tsar for them to smell something and not eat it. The halacha is also, you have a waiter, and the waiter is serving food. Anything that has smell, you have to give the waiter to eat, because it's real tsar to him. Things that don't have smell, you don't have to give them, but it's lefnim rosh hashanah to give the waiter everything you're eating. But if there's smell, and you don't eat it, there's a lot of tsar. So what's she supposed to do? She wants the Carlson Gabby's, but it's embarrassing for her to eat it. Hischilu abdel lahavi b'chashai. So her servants would quietly go to the back door, get some of the food, and give it to her quietly. So she gets the food, but she does it quietly. So to Baruch Shem, you say it, but you say it quietly. So Amar Rabbi Abahu, Hiskinu Sheyu Omer Mosoba Kol Ram. No, the Takana was to actually say Baruch Shem out loud. Why? Bipnei Tarumos Haminim, because the Tarumos Haminim, the Minim, the Apikorsim, would say, ah, what are you guys whispering there? What are you saying? You're talking to somebody else quietly? What are you saying exactly? So he said, say it out loud so they hear clearly what you're saying. Baruch Shem, Kavod, Malchus, Ol, Yilam, Ved. We're talking to Hashem. We're not talking to any other type of God that you refer to. We're talking to just Hashem. So they said, say it out loud. Uber Nardai, Dilekaminim, but in the place of Nardai where there were no Apikorsim. So there, Ad Hasha, up until now even, Amrile B'chashai, we say quietly. And that's the custom, of course, to say it B'chashai.
Isn't it because of the Malachim that they say, that's why we say Yom Kippur aloud and we're like Malachim? I thought there was isn't there a whole union about that, no?
About Malachim.
Or I dreamt it.
No, you're right. Right, we're all like Malachim and Yom Kippur, that's why we do say it aloud. How does this go well with this then, you're saying?
I always thought that the reason of Rosh Hashanah Kavod is because allowed is because somehow because of the Malachim say it after something like that, and then Yom Kippur were like Malachim were allowed to say it aloud, no, something like that.
You're right about
it. Every day in Shacharit you read.
Malachim said every day.
Yeah, and we say in Shacharit.
No, Baruch Kavod Hashem in Kamal.
Oh, Baruch.
So, you're right because we're at Malachim we saying Yom Kippur aloud. I'm just not sure. It must be a different reason why we say right. Quietly in this Gemara. I don't know. Is there another reason brought down? A different reason. Let's see quickly. I'll look in the back afterwards, see if there's something. So the Achronim deal with the following question. What if a person did not say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso L'Olam Ve'ed? When saying Shema, do you have to go back? Is not saying Baruch Shem Ma'akev or not Ma'akev? So it's actually Machlokas Poskim, they deal with this issue. The Ber Halacha wanted to bring a raya from this sugi here because the Anshei Richo did Korchan Shema. And according to one opinion, Korchan Shema means he did not say Baruch Shem. He said Shema Yisrael and right into Vehafta. So, and what did the Chum do? They didn't do anything. The Chum allowed them to do Korchan Shema and they were not mocha, they were not protest what they did. They did not go against what they did. Now, if the Halacha was that you have to go back and say Shema again with Baruch Shem, so the Chum would have to protest, and would have to make them go back. So the fact that they did not make them go back would indicate that Baruch Shem is not Ma'akev, the mitzvah of Shema. Yigas Moshe explains that this is not such a good raya, and he thinks otherwise. Okay, so says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan. Shisha Devarim, also Anche Yericho. There are six things similar to the Mishnah. There are six things that Yericho did. Shlosha Baratzon Chachamim, three of them were Baratzon. The Mishnah said, was Micha B'Yadam. Here it says, B'Ratzon, actually the Chacham agreed with what they did. B'Shalosh Shalom B'Ratzon Chacham, three things were not in agreement with what the Chacham wanted. Ve'ilu B'Ratzon Chacham, the following were B'Ratzon. Markivin Dekom Koyom, they allowed them to graft and do all the planting that we spoke of above that was permitted in Erev Pesach. The Korachin is a Shema, and however you interpret Korachin, whether it's without being a hefsek or without saying Baruch Shem, all those that was permitted by the Chacham, B'Ratzon Chacham. The Kotun Lefnei Omer, and they'd also allow them to harvest, to cut all the grains before the Omer. The Elu, I think Rashi explains why. See Rashi, three lines from the bottom. Kotun Lefnei Omer, B'Ratzon Chachamim, Kilomer Lo Hakpidu Chachamim, the Chachamim didn't really mind the fact that they cut, even though normally you shouldn't do Ktsir before the Omer, this they didn't mind. The Isur Deraisa Lekka, there's no real Isur Deraisa. Because Yericho is one of the places that they would not bring the Omer from. Only the place where you bring the Omer from, potentially where you can bring it from, there was an Issa Ksira. Why? There's no Issa Derban. There wasn't a concern they might eat the grain before the Omer. You certainly couldn't eat the grain before the Omer was brought. Cutting is not a problem in these places. A person, when it comes to Issa Chadash, all year long a person separates, doesn't eat Chadash. So a person's not going to suddenly start eating Chadash right here a few moments before the carbon's brought. So therefore, it wasn't a problem. And the reason why they would not bring Ksira from Yericho, why wouldn't they bring the carbon Omer from Yericho? So Rashi in the Mishnah already explains there are only certain places that are very, better parts of the land of Eretz Yisrael where you would bring the Omer from. Yericho was not one of the better parts of the land, therefore Yericho was not an option for bringing the Omer. Only place where you potentially can bring the Omer from was there in Issa Ksira. Yericho was not one of those places. Says the Gemara now, Ve'elu Shalop, Ratzon Chachamim, the following places, the three things that Chachamim did not agree with. Gochin Lefnei Omer, they would create the mounds, create the heaps of all the grains after they've been reaped. They collected these mounds, and that was a problem because that might be a little bit closer to a person starting to eat it now.
Right.
Just cutting them down, leaving them there is okay. But starting to make the piles, a person might eat it. That was not B'Ratzon Chachamim. Uportin Pratzos Beginosei, and they would make these breaches in the fences of people's gardens. Upardeson, and their orchards. L'hachil Neshel Aniyim, to allow the Aniyim to eat the fruit that fell off. B'Shnei B'Tsuras. B'Shabbos V'Yom Tovim, to eat all during the bad years, the famine years, they open these gates so that the poor people could eat them on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And that was not very good, according to the Chachamim, to do that. U'matirin gimziel shel hekdesh shel acharu v'shel sikmam, divrei Rabbi Meir. So this we said in the Mishnah already, that the fathers of the people in Yericho had made certain trees hekdesh, and any new branches that grew, the children thought those were not considered hekdesh anymore. You were able to get hana from those branches. So those were the three things that they did that Chachamim did not agree with. That's all according to Rabbi Meir. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Im b'ratzon chachamim hayu osin." If the first three things were done b'ratzon chachamim with the consent of the chachamim, then kol adam osin kein. Why doesn't everybody do this? Everyone should be able to do korchin hashishma. Everybody should be able to markivin to kol mer pesach, and everyone should be able to do ktsir lefnei omer. So not everyone does that. Only Yericho did it. Ella elu ve'elu shelo b'ratzon chachamim. Both of these things, all six things, were shelo b'ratzon chachamim. Hayu. All six were Shalom B'Ratzon, but three of them they decided to make a big deal of it. Three of them they decided not to make a big deal of. Ve'elu Shalom Michu B'Yadam, the following three things that they did not protest. Markivin Dekalim Kol Yom, they were able to do all this planting on Erev Pesach. That they said, let's not take an issue. Let's not make an issue. It's Aser, but we're not going to make an issue of this one. The Korach and Shema here too, also we won't make an issue of it. The Kotzin V'Gotzin L'Fnei Omer, this also cutting and making the piles, they would not make an issue of. But again, all of them were Shalom B'Ratzon Chachamim.
I'm sorry, just the reason they used to do Markivin Dekalim Kol Yom, we explained, is because unless they did it to the next trees, then they would die. Is that what it is? Or why specific? Any melacha is Asur Erev Pesach. Why are we just talking about this?
Why specifically this one?
Or is it? Are they? Because it's definitely not Kilaim. So you're talking about,
right? It's not Kilaim.
No,
I guess it's not a. Maybe it's not. It's liquid that they made and poured in the core of the tree. I guess it wasn't a real type of avodah
karka. It's not a real melacha, and the rabbanim, the chiddush is that it's not a real melacha, and they still were michulei.
That might be the point. You know, I don't think Rashi explained why what the discussion was. The Gemara discusses all the other ones. I think I don't think it discusses Markivin though.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not even sure what Markivin does. I don't really get the whole point. Really,
it's different according to according to article. One of them is that they used to make slits in the leaves and put younger leaves so that it should mix up with the older ones.
Right. That was according to the second opinion. That was Rav Acha. The first two opinions in the Gemara. Right.
So that's one of them.
So maybe it's not a real avodas hakarka. It's not a real mlach like you're saying.
And they were still michu. That's the chiddush.
Right.
Okay.
So then the Gemara says, "Ve'elu shelo michu b'yadam." Now the following are the three things. No, we did that already. "Ve'elu shem michu b'yadam." The following are the three things that the Chachamim did make a big deal of. Matir and gimziel shel hekdesh shel charav shel sikma. Those things they said, no, you cannot get hetter from those branches that grew from the hekdesh. That they made a big stink of. Uports and pratos beganosem bepardesim la'achil neshel ani and pershabalsos v'yom tovim b'shnei b'tziros. And also, cutting open people's fences to go allow the neem to take the fruit, that also is not something we're going to stand and sit back and do nothing. We're going to tell you guys to stop. And the third thing is
the issue is that they were cutting the fences or that the neem used to take fruit that might have fallen on Shabbos and its mukhtzah.
Ah, interesting. It's probably a combination of both of them. Let's see, does the Gemara discuss this one? I don't remember. The Gemara discusses this one, right?
Uh-huh, okay.
Exactly. Whereas an issue of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Nosin pei liyerek umicha biyadam chacham." And the final thing that they did was they left the corner of the field of vegetables, of carrots, and they said, "This is pei. This is left for the aniyim." The Chacham says, "No, you can't do that because by you doing that, you're exempting the meiser. There's a real chiyah meiser midrabanan at least to take meiser from yerek." And by you setting aside peah, and we said peah is pater mimaiser, you're exempting, you're removing, you're taking away maiser from the levim that they should ultimately get. So that the Chacham decided to make a big deal of as well. So v'savar Rabbi Yehuda k'tzira shlo barasan chachamim. Did Rabbi Yehuda really say? Rabbi Yehuda said everything that he did in Yericho was all against the ratzon l'chachamim. And one of the things listed was the k'tzira before the omer. He said no. The fact that they cut the grains before the omer, that was something the Chacham didn't like. Is that really true? Rabbi Yehuda thinks the Chacham were against you doing k'tzira before the omer. The Mishnah says, "Anche Yericho kotzin lefnei Omer beratzon chachamim," that they did it beratzon chachamim. It's a Mishnah that says that they did it with the agreement, with the consent of the chachamim. The gochin lefnei Omer l'shelo beratzon chachamim, but creating the piles of the grain, that was problematic. That was against the chachamim. V'lo micha b'yadam, and the chacham did not protest what they did. So the Gemara says, now who's the author of this Mishnah? Man shmasle damer micha v'lo micha. Who's the person who said it depends on micha v'lo micha? Not ratzon shelo ratzon. It's all about michu b'alo michu. That's Rabbi Yehuda, we said. So Rabbi Yehuda is the author of this Mishnah. V'kasani, and yet this Mishnah says kotzin b'ratzon chacham, that they allowed you to cut down the grains before the Omer. So Rabbi Yehuda does allow you to do k'tzir before the Omer. Before we said he did not allow you to say do k'tzir before the Omer. Says the Gemara, l'tamich, according to your very reasoning, hani arba ahava. According to you, the Anshei Yericho did six things. Three of the things were against the Chachamim, three things were with the agreement with the Chachamim. Now you look there are actually four of them. What are the four? Markivin Dekalim, Korachin Hashema, Kochin Lefnei Omer, Gochin Bomer. There are four things, not three things. So rather, it says the Gemara, Ela Sami Mikan Ketzir, remove Ketzir from the list here. So Ketzir is not on the list. You're right, Rabbi Yehuda actually does say Ketzir is completely permitted before the Karban Omer is brought, and that's not on the list.
But our Mishnah counts it as one.
Our Mishnah
puts them together.
Our Mishnah, but exactly, you look back, I read that Rashi. The Rashi says in the Mishnah, you should remove Ketzir from the Mishnah. Exactly what the Gemara tells us to do. Rashi tells us in the Mishnah, Ketzir should not be in the Mishnah. Ketzir is actually permitted, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in Yericho. Okay,
so why it is?
Why was it there in the Mishnah? And you said yesterday, sometimes the Mishnahs have mistakes.
Achi Garcinan.
Right.
What?
Look, they change the Gers afterwards. Should have.
Okay. Says the Gemara, Matirin Gimziel Shel Hekdesh Shel Charav Shel Sikma. So they were permitted in Yericho, they allowed you to get any of the branches that grew, that were newly grown after the tree was made Hekdesh, they permitted eating those branches. So Amr Abu Seinu, like Dishu Elakaros. They said, our fathers only made Hekdesh the beams, the wood, the larger parts of the tree. V'anu Natir Gimziel Shel Hekdesh. But we're going to permit the smaller branches to be used, shel chara v'shel sikma, u'begidulim haban l'achar mikan askinan, and we're talking about the ones that grew after the fact, after they made a hekdesh, still the additional branch that grew, that was not subject to hekdesh, and that's what they thought. The savri la, and they thought, kiman damar ein me'ila begidulim. There's no mila when it comes to gidulim. Gidulim, only what you make hekdesh is going to be hekdesh. Any new growths will not be considered hekdesh. So that's where Yericho, that was the hezber of what they did. However, Rabban Savri Nihi de Me'ila Leka, we agree, there's no Me'ila. However, Isur Me'ika, there is still an Isur. So Me'ila means that there's an Isur Deraisa, and you have to bring a carbon for violating this Isur Deraisa. So the Rabban say there's no Me'ila, you don't have to bring carbonos to be violated. But there is still an Isser involved. What exactly the Isser is, that has to be understood.
But they made Hekdesh the whole tree, or they made Hekdesh certain branches?
Because
if they make Hekdesh the whole tree, then I don't think there is even a Shaila that for sure everything that grows from it is Hekdesh.
Part of it. Le'achar she'ekdishu et ha'etzim.
Yeah, I thought they made the whole thing. Let's see.
I don't see how you can find the heter once you make a whole thing hektish that the growth of it should be permitted.
No, because this is a halacha that ain me'ila begidulim. Me'ila doesn't apply to things that grow.
So that's what the Gemara is saying, that basically it's still asur, but if there is no me'ila, you don't have to bring a korban.
Right. Okay. According to the Chachamim, right? The Riecha thought it was completely mutter.
Right.
Now the Gemara says, uports and pratzos. So they used to breach the fences and allow the neem to go in on Shabbos to get all the fruit that fell down. So what was the problem with this? Breaching the fences seems to be problematic. But the Gemara says something else is problematic. Amar ula amar b'shimon ben lakish machlokis b'shel mechabdos. The whole machlokis is regarding mechabdos. What are mechabdos? Rashi says, b'shel mechabdos kapos timarim heim b'rosh adeka. They had these big leaves on the top of the date tree. Like lulavim. And they were bent, they were curved. It became a kli, had a little patch to catch them. And the dates would fall down and they would catch them. They came in the gavoa, they're very high up in the tree. You have to climb the tree to take these dates. They're concerned while climbing the tree, they might grab one of the dates that are connected. Now, grabbing a tree, a fruit that's mechubar, that's connected to the tree, is an issa deraisa of ketira. You're right, the ones that were tallish, that already fell off, that are hanging in the kli, that's completely permitted, mid-deraisa, but there's a chashash, you might rip off one of the ones that are connected, which is an issa deraisa. So that's what we're referring to. That's the machlokas, rather. Now, again, back to the Gemara, machlokas b'shel mechabdos. The Rabban Savri gazrinan shema yala v'yitlosh, you might grab, climb up, and rip off one of the ones connected to the tree. They didn't think there was such a concern. They wouldn't. Why would you grab the date that's connected, that's attached to the tree, if you could go get the one that's had there, that's already loose in the tree? The ones on the kifin, which we already saw a few daf away, which were in the bottom, that's permitted, because it doesn't require you to grab, climb the tree at all, where you might grab off one of the connected dates. So Amalei Rav Rava, is a muksa. Who cares whether it's talish? It fell off on Shabbos, and it's going to be a problem of muksa. The chitema, maybe you're going to tell me, hold the chazi leorvin, hashda, muchanadam.
Right, since they're ready.
Right, since they're fit for the orvin, that the ravens, the birds could come eat it. So maybe it's going to be muchanadam. Let's see how to read that for a second. I said maybe chitema muhal the chazi the orvin, since the chazi the orvin, so maybe you think that since it's chazi to the birds, it's chazi to man. No, hashem muhal adam lavi muhal klavim. No, something that's muhal to a person is not muhal to a dog. In other words, the Tanan, the Mishnah says, the Yehuda Omer im lo ha'isan nevela be'er Shabbos asura v'fishena mina muhal. The halacha is you had an animal that died on Shabbos itself, which became a nevela on Shabbos, you cannot feed it to dogs. Since Erev Shabbos, it was a live animal, which is not fit for a dog, so muksa is defined by the Bein HaShemashos when Shabbos begins. So during Bein HaShemashos, this was a live animal. It wasn't muchan l'klavim. The next day on Shabbos, it died, and it is now roi for the kelev, but since the beginning of Shabbos, it was not muchan l'klavim, we don't say it's muchan l'klavim later on. And even though Erev Shabbos, it was muchan for a person, they say it's alive. How could it be muchan to a person? since you could theoretically shecht it and eat it on another Shabbos, so they say it's Muchan L'Adam. Well, fine, you have to accept that for now at least. So once it's Muchan L'Adam, though, we don't say since it's Muchan L'Adam, it's also Muchan L'Klavim. We don't connect Hachana with respect to a person to respect of an animal. So again, just like we say by person is Muchan to person, it's not Muchan to a dog, the opposite is true as well. Just because Muchan L'Orvin, just because the fruits are Muchan to the birds, doesn't mean it's going to be Muchan to man.
It seems from here that when it says Bechitema Hoil Dechaze Le'Orvin, it's referring while they're still attached.
Exactly, while they're still attached. So when they fall, let's say they're raw when they're still attached.
Then when they fall for sure, they're right.
So they're saying, so what do you mean? Once it's attached, it's raw, it's muchan le'orvin, the birds could come eat them, so it shouldn't be muchan to man also? Kamar said, no. Could you find the opposite? That if it's muchan to a person, it's not muchan to dogs. So too, if it's muchan to an animal, it's not muchan to adam. They're two completely different categories.
Right.
So, in the end of the day, the question is, aren't they muksa if they fall off on Shabbos? So it says the Gemara, Amar Lei, in. Yes. Muchan l'adam, lav muchan l'klav. You're right. Something that is muchan for a person is not muchan for a dog. The chol midi dechaz l'inish, lo makshli medaito. Because anything that's roy for a person, he does not maximidaita. He does not remove it from his mind. Muksa, according to this simple reading, muksa is all about das. Did I have in mind that I'm going to eat this on Shabbos or not eat this on Shabbos? Since this behema was in theory, whatever that means, just accept it for now. At least Tosus deals with this. We don't have time for it now. But since this animal was roy to me, even though it's not muchan the klavim, that's considered hachana. There's no problem muksa. It's all about my das. So too, muchan orvim, it's something roy for the birds. Having muchan adam is also considered muchan adam. They call midi dechaz leinish daita alayu. Because since there's just a small possibility the fruits might fall off, that makes it chazi to the adam as well. Because all goes based on a person's das. Does Rashi explain this a little bit better? Rashi doesn't explain this.
Muchan leadam have muchan lechlavim. Let me see let's see how art scroll this is. Any other paper for human conception is not considered prepared for those. Because one does not mentally set aside from any item that is suitable for a human.
It's the Rashi here explains that. It's all based on the das. The das of the person is that, you're right, even though right now Banish Mashals, it's mechubar, the dates are connected to the tree. It's possible they might fall off on its own. Or it's possible the birds might knock some of the dates off. So once that's a possibility, even though right now I can't eat it, but once it's a possibility, so my das during Banish Mashals is this potential I might be able to eat it. That is enough das to remove the Isra Muksa on this fruit. As long as there's some possibility, there's something in my mind, it might be relevant to me, I might be able to eat it. So then it removes it from the status of being Muksa. So let's, maybe we could get this Tosos in, maybe. We still have a few minutes. Tosos writes in Tanan Rabbi Yehuda Omer Im Lo Hayisod Nevela Me'Erev Shabbos. If it wasn't Nevela from Erev Shabbos, it was a live animal Erev Shabbos, it's Aser to a dog because it was alive during Banish Mashals. The Tosos asks, Tema, Ho Hosom Lo Havi Muchan L'Adam, the Aser L'Shoch, the B'Shabbos. What do you mean? How could he Muchan L'Adam? This is a live cow right now. I cannot eat it, it's alive, and I can't Shechet it either, it's an Issa there I said to Shechet it. How am I able to and say this, learn this halacha, muchan adam, muchan lo muchal the club. So Mefarshah, Rav Yosef, the Mishnah Yaseir, he says it's an extra word in the Mishnah, it's a drasha from the Mishnah, okay, let's skip that one. That's the re, one line down, re Mefarsh, muchan adam hainu, she'om das la'achilas adam, it's right for a person to eat, v'af agav de'ein ruy l'adam lo'os Shabbos, even though it's not actually mutter for this coming Shabbos, hainu machmas iser, that's because there's an iser in the way, but you can't shecht it, but not because he was maxed from his das, from practically speaking, it was for just an iser. Okay, fine. So he points out that it's all based on the mitzias. In actuality, would I eat this cow or would I not eat this cow? So as long as it's a live animal, it's something I can still eat, even though practically I can't eat it just yet, but physically it's something that I would not remove from my das, so then therefore it's not considered moksa. But once the animal dies, it's nevela, I won't eat the nevela. So it's maximidaita. But again, a live animal, which I will eat it, maybe not the Shabbos, but I'll eat it eventually, that's not maximidaita. But it's not, again, it doesn't go based on actual potential to use for that Shabbos, just in general, whether it's something I could potentially see myself eating. Says the Gemara now. Ki asa Rabin Amar b'Shimon ben Lakish machlokis b'shel bein kippin. The machlokis really is when it's found in the bottom of the date trees. The Rabbanan Savri Muchan Orvim Lavi Muchan Ladam. If something is Muchan for the birds, it's not Muchan for man. And that's why, since the birds can't get to it, it's low down, it's stuck in the thorns, like we said, therefore it's not Muchan the Adam. Vanchi Yichal Savri Muchan Orvim Havi Muchan Ladam. So they would hold. I'm sorry, all the way around. No. If it's found in the thorns, so this is a case of Muchan the Orvim. Why is it Muchan the Orvim?
I don't think it's thorns here. I think here it's the lower leaves.
But I remember we said before, remember the keep in regards to Shavuos, the animals couldn't get to because of the thorns.
But I just looked now and it didn't say that in our scroll.
How did you find it? Rashi says, B'shel ben akipin, limata minofeim, below, b'nofos ha'tachnom, in the lower branches, v'leka l'meichash l'tlisha dein kan mukhobaros. Okay, maybe you're right. It's not low down. I guess keep in must just mean lower.
Right,
but not the lowest necessarily, right, depending on the context.
Lower, yeah.
Okay, fine. So that makes sense. So now there are lower branches, so the birds can still access them. I have to still climb up the tree.
They are low enough for the birds to access, but too high for the men to reach.
Right, but it's the lowest branch. It's not on the bottom. The lowest branch. I still have to. There's nothing below it. So when I'm climbing to get them, there's no branches along the way I can pull off any dates.
Right.
So there's no concern anymore of me grabbing off any dates. So it says the Gemara again. Even though a bird could get to it, it's not considered muchan to me, and it's still muksa for the anshe yiricho. No, once it's muchan for a bird, it's muchan to a person. The ones that are much higher up, where I really have to climb high, even anshe yiricho would be modeh. Exactly. It says the Gemara now. The last one.
More of a shash of these Ariyana Yalavi Lush by the higher ones than they do by the lower ones?
The lower ones are not either. They're not Lushim in the lower ones. These are the ones below any place where they can be anything.
This first branch.
An area where there are nothing. There are no Lushim. They just fell below. They're just held by leaves that don't make fruit.
In the bottom part of the tree, the lowest branch, that's where the keeping are. Nothing. When you climb to get it, there's nothing along the way you're going to pick off. It's the first branch you get to.
Don't you have to pass that to get to the higher branch?
Yeah, so when it comes to the keepin, so getting to the keepin, there's no problem getting to the keepin. There's no branches on the way to the keepin. The keepin, the first branches that you're going to get into contact with. When you get to the machvedas, which are much higher, then you're going to be passing all the keepin and all the branches below. That's going to be problematic to get to the higher one, to get to the machvedas.
On the way going up, you might
pick off one of the ones that are already attached.
Right.
Yeah. So again, the machbedas are the higher ones up. So to get to the higher ones up, I have got to climb all these branches. Along the way, I'm going to see a date that's attached. I might grab the date while getting the machbedas. So for that reason, they said, do not go to the machbedas. Everyone agrees, according to this opinion, you can't go to the machbedas. But when you come to the keepin, which are the lowest branch, so you can get the keepin because when you climb the tree to get to the keepin, there are no branches on your way to the keepin. It's completely smooth trunk. You get to the keepin, the first layer of branches. You take the dates that already fell off, that are caught in the leaves. Those are permitted to be eaten. There's no concern you might pick off something attached because there's nothing attached on the way up. Better? Okay, fine. Says the Gemara. Benosin Pe'ali Erek. The last thing that Yericho did that they were very much against was they took Pe'ah, they left a corner aside from the vegetable field, from the carrots, let's say. Do they not hold to the following Mishnah? They were learned people. The following rule, Bepeya. Kol Shu, they're like five Tanoim to accomplish the halachas of Peya. Kol Shu, Ochel, anything that's food. Vinishmar, there's a shmir that you protect over it. Vigidule, Minaretz, and grows from the ground.
I think Nishmar is that you can store.
Right, you could store it, exactly.
Protect,
not Hefker. Gemara says it to exclude Hefker. No, that's the next thing. No, that's a different issue. That's the last one, the storing one.
Oh, it's the last one. Okay.
Yeah, the gidulim in a karka growing has to grow from the ground. The kitzas l'kachas, that all the gatherings take place in one season. And lastly, machnis l'kim, you place in a storage house that can be kept there. Chai bepeh, all those things are chai bepeh. So what's the need for all these tanaim? What does it come to tell us? Kol shu ochel, anything that's food, prat l'svichei sitim, v'kotze. These things, Rashi says, are very hard, very inedible. Those things are not considered edible enough to be subject to peah. Nishmar, it's protected, prat l'hefker. Something I leave open for anybody to access, that's not considered shmir. something that grows from the ground, pratlik kmin and pitriolus, which are different fungus and fungi and mushrooms, which are not gedilim in karka.
They don't take any nutrients from the land.
Right. Well, they're yonik. No, they are yonik, but not mechubar. Right? Isn't that, I think they're yonik from the ground, but not mechubar. The Gemara and Shabbos and Bracha says.
Yeah, something like that.
L'kitasan, kachas, you gather them all in one shot, pratlet te'enim, the figs, apparently different figs, are collected different times of the season, so that's not going to be subject to peah. And finally, machnis l'kim, pratlet yerek. Yerek doesn't stay well if you keep it over, they go bad, so vegetables are pater from peah. Yet, anchi yericho, so how could yericho leave peah of yerek? Mefurish Mishnah tells us that yerek is not subject to peah. So Amar Bihuda, Amar Rab, hacha b'roshe lipsos askinan. So it's talking about the heads of the lifsos, which apparently Rashi says, Rashi lifsos, alei halefes machnisin osam lekim aidei ha'imahos. So you would take the leaves of the lefes to put it into storage because it would protect the imahos. I'm not sure exactly the vegetables.
Turnips.
So I guess the leaves and the imahos.
Leaves of turnips. 29. It was the leaves of turnips plants that people of Yericho left for the poor. And the beauty of the bulbs themselves can be stored, though through picking for a long time. Therefore, Yericho held that since the leaves of the plants are harvested and stored through picking along with the bulbs, they too are subject of peah, even though their storage is incidental to that of the bulbs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So again, so the Gemara says we're talking about hach v'roshi lifsos askinam u'machnis l'kim ayde davarach. You put it. You wouldn't do it with the vegetables itself. You do it with the vegetables for the purpose of the davar acher, which was the imahos, as it refers to in the Rashi. So, and that was the type of vegetable they left peah on. Kamifkali, mar sever machnis lekim ayde davar acher shmeikim, mar sever lo shmeikim. That's machlokas, whether or not you storage these things for the purpose of something else, whether that's considered a kim.
Right, they wanted to store the bulbs, and they were saying that the leaves of the bulbs were also considered.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So that was the machlokas for chamim and anshi yuricho. There's one last note here. The bottom Tosas writes, klal amu bepeya, he says, nir lebeno tam, de mederaisa lo mechai bepeya el zayis v'kerem v'sadeh. The only three things that chai, mederaisa, and peya are olives, grapes, and the fields. Dichse behedya bekra, the pasuk explicitly says, I assume he quotes the pasuk, the gan chavitarach v'yitzarcha, that's my guess. Dvarim chav dalad, don't know that pasuk by heart. So, I assume that's the source, the pasuk. V'achrina, everything other than this is tekanta derbanan. It's all tekana. Rabbeinu Tam goes on to explain there seems to be a source somewhere, a mekor for other brachas. He says that's simply an asmach to Baalma again, but mederaisa, the only thing chayiv is keras zayis kerem v'sader. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow's daf is a very short daf, actually.
Isn't that a little bit contradiction because